RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by a press review, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesia urged South China Sea dispute settlement. Indonesia and Vietnam signed 6 MOUs on cooperation in various sectors. Traditional cloth parade is held to commemorate the International Day of Indigenous People in the World. Now, the news in details. South China Sea dispute still continues, although a number of countries, including Indonesia, have tried to facilitate the issue to be resolved soon. Vietnam and the People's Republic of China both insist on claiming the territory. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs, General Retired Wiranto, on the sidelines of the 3rd International Maritime Security Symposium in Nusa Dua Bali on Thursday, August 24, admitted that Indonesia has already had its own commitment and stance on the South China Sea dispute. Indonesia is in a position to support the creation of a peaceful settlement between the disputed countries.
Kami tadi juga bertukar pikiran tentang kawasan khususnya Asia.
We also exchange ideas about the region, especially ASEAN, which celebrated its 50th anniversary, and emphasized the importance of unity and centrality of ASEAN, and the importance of cooperation to realize the vision of the ASEAN community in 2025. We also welcome the progress achieved within the framework of the Code of Conduct that will be the basis for introducing a comprehensive norm in the South China Sea. Indonesia and Vietnam have signed a number of memorandum of understanding for cooperation in various fields. The agreement was achieved after President Joko Widodo received a courtesy visit of the Vietnam Socialist Republican Party Secretary General Nguyen Phu Cho at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. The Secretary General of the Socialist Republican Party of Vietnam, Nguyen Phu Cho, paid an honorary visit to Indonesia to meet with President Joko Widodo. Both delegations met for a bilateral meeting to discuss a number of cooperation. In a joint press statement, President Joko Widodo said both sides focus on security and situation in the ASEAN region. In addition, according to President Joko Widodo, Indonesia also supports Vietnam to be the host of the APEC summit.
Kami tadi juga bertukar pikiran tentang kawasan khususnya ASEAN.
We also exchange ideas about the region, especially ASEAN, which celebrated its 50th anniversary, and emphasized the importance of unity and centrality of ASEAN, and the importance of cooperation to realize the vision of the ASEAN community in 2025. We also welcome the progress achieved within the framework of the Code of Conduct that will be the basis for introducing a comprehensive norm in the South China Sea. President Joko Widodo further stated that he and Vietnam's Socialist Republican Party Secretary General Nguyen Phu Cho agreed to make ASEAN as a driving force to create peace and stability and the welfare of the ASEAN region. Meanwhile, Vietnam's Socialist Republican Party Secretary General Nguyen Phu Cho said Vietnam supports Indonesia to play a major role in the region and become the leader in the ASEAN region. Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to sign 6 Memorandum of Understanding under 5 ministries. This time, the cooperation focus include cooperation in coal and gas utilization, cooperation in the continent, rural development cooperation, and cooperation in legal fields. Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, which consists of students of the Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, prepares for the final round of World Championship of Folklore 2017 in Nesebar, Bulgaria. Previously, the group has won gold medals in two different categories in the competition. This was stated by the team leader of Kencana Pradipa Dance Group's cultural missions, Finda, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday.
Yeah, we have joined this competition since 18th of August. It started on 18th of August. And the final will be on the 26th of August. And right now, for our category, we have won the gold medal for category instrument, traditional, and ensemble category. Two gold medals we have achieved. So right now we are still practicing for the final for the Grand Prix champion.
Finda added, Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, in the competition performs various dances and music from various regions in Indonesia, including Saman dance from Aceh and Papeda dance from Papua. Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, which consists of students of the Faculty of Psychology, University of Indonesia, will perform four Indonesian traditional dances in World Championship of Folklore 2017 in Nesebar, Bulgaria. This was stated by team leader of cultural mission of Kencana Pradipa Dance Group, Finda, in a special interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday, August 24th.
In this competition, we have a chance to dance five times to reach until the Grand Prix final. And for until now, we have prepared four dances. It's Aceh dance called Saman, and then we got Sundanese dance called Wanejo Bentang, and then Betawi dance called Kembang Selaras, and Papua dance called Papeda. So we have prepared four dances.
Finda added, besides performing four dances at the World Championship of Folklore 2017 competition, the group will also feature a medley of Indonesian traditional musical performances of Batak, Javanese, and Sundanese culture. Indonesian swimmer Triadi Fauzi Siddiq won a gold medal at the 2017 Southeast Asian Games Thursday, August 24th, after adding two silvers. Triadi was behind a Vietnamese swimmer in the first 50 meters. He managed to pick up the pace in the second 50 meters. Triadi started leading in the third 50 meters with breaststroke. In the final 50 meters, Triadi managed to maintain his performance with freestyle stroke and finish first. This is the third gold medal contributed by Triadi in the 2017 SEA Games. Earlier, he added two silver medals from 100 meters butterfly men and 50 meters butterfly men. The Indonesian swimming team has added two gold medals. Earlier, Igede Siman Sudartawa won gold 50 meters backstroke men on Monday, August 21st. Siman also earned a silver medal in 100 meters backstroke men today. The Indonesian swimming team also won a bronze medal in the sixth day of the 2017 SEA Games event. Reza Kania Dewi managed to earn a bronze medal in 200 meters medley women. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with our commentary for today. Entitling U.S. sanction against China and North Korea nuclear crisis. U.S. relations with China and Russia have recently been disrupted by North Korea's nuclear crisis. The Chinese government, for example, 2 days ago reacted quite strongly to Washington's move to impose sanction on individuals and companies doing business with North Korea. The U.S. Treasury has set new sanction on a series of Chinese and Russian individuals and companies as it is seen to support North Korea's nuclear program. Earlier, President Donald Trump has asked the Chinese government to convince North Korea to stop its nuclear and ballistic missiles programs. Beijing believes the United States move to sanction Chinese citizens accused of doing business with North Korea has no impact on efforts to resolve the U.S.-North Korean crisis. Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesman Hua confirmed his government's stance in an official press conference. Beijing firmly requested that Washington stop the misreported policy and fixed it immediately. Hua also pointed out that the real crisis on the Korean Peninsula has no sign of abating. With the statement, it is implied that the Chinese government wants to convey that Beijing has taken steps to persuade the government in Pyongyang related to its nuclear and ballistic policies. On the other hand, a new tensions between Washington and Beijing also indicates that the United States wants to state that Russia and China are allies to North Korea. Under the new sanction policy, implicitly Washington wants both China and Russia to make more concrete steps to pressure North Korea so that the country can immediately change its policy by stopping its nuclear and ballistic testing activities that trouble the United States and South Korea. Diplomatically, Washington's move is actually an attempt to pressure Beijing to persuade North Korea, along with the possibility of immediate talks between U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and North Korea. Whether the United States' move will impact the changing of North Korea's nuclear policy will still be determined by the Chinese stance of capturing Washington's signal. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener. It's nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on August 25, 1950, the implementation of a Healthy Public House Congress in Bandung. The Healthy Public House Congress was attended by participants from 63 regencies and cities, 4 provinces, representatives from Public Works Office, delegates of youth organization, Barisan Tani organization, Parindra Board, and individual figures. The Congress discussed various issues, among others, housing financing, regulatory review about building official residence, and housing land provision. On the Congress held on August 25, 1950, Vice President Muhammad Hatta conveyed his speech related to the public housing issues. The Congress was considered as a historical milestone of Indonesian housing development, so that the State Minister of National Housing issued the Decree No. 46-2008 about the National Housing Day on August 6, 2008, declared that August 25 is commemorated as the National Housing Day. Now we take you to see the next event, which occurred on August 25, 1991, Belarus broke away from the Soviet Union. On August 25, 1991, Belarus broke away from the Soviet Union and became an independent state. Belarus, since the 14th century, was under control of Lithuania. However, since 1569, the country was ruled by Poland. At the end of the 18th century, Belarus was ruled by Russia. At the post of World War II, Belarus was divided into 2 territories of Russia and Poland. But after Russia won the war, the whole of Belarus territory were occupied by Russia. Following the Soviet Union downfall, Belarus seriously fighting for its independence. On August 25, 2012, Neil Armstrong passed away. Neil Alden Armstrong was an astronaut and the US Marine aviator. He was the first person to walk on the moon. Before becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was an officer of the United States Navy and had served in the Korean War. After the war, he became a pilot test at the high-speed flight station of the National Aviation Advisory Committee. It is now the Dryden Flight Research Center, where he listed nearly 900 flights. As a participant of Man in Space, soon as Human Space Flight Program of the U.S. Air Forces, Armstrong joined the NASA Astronaut Corps in 1962. His first space flight was NASA's Gemini 8 mission in 1966. He became the command pilot at the mission and became the first American citizen outside space. Armstrong's second and last spacecraft flight was commander of the Apollo 11 mission in July 1969. On this mission, Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin descended to the surface of the moon and spent 2.5 hours exploring the moon while Michael Collins remained in orbit inside the command module. Armstrong was awarded the President's Freedom Medal by President Richard Nixon, with Collins and Aldrin the Congressional Space Congress Medal by President Jimmy Carter in 1978, and the 2009 Congress Gold Medal. On August 25, 2012, Armstrong died of illness. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Focus. Today's Focus themed Indonesia and Vietnam agree on 6 corporations. Secretary General of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam, Nguyen Phu Trong, held a bilateral meeting with Indonesian President Joko Widodo at the Merdeka Palace Jakarta on Wednesday, August 23, 2017. Indonesia and Vietnam agreed on 6 corporations covering education, rural development, coal, gas utilization in the boundaries of continent area, law, as well as marine and coastal guard. At the meeting, President Joko Widodo and Secretary General Nguyen Phu Trong witnessed the signing of a joint memorandum of understanding for the 6 corporations. The memorandum of understanding in the field of education was signed by the Deputy Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Vietnam, and the Indonesian Minister of Education and Culture, while the Rural Development Corporation was signed by the Minister of Village, the Development of Disadvantaged Regions and Transmigration of Indonesia, and the Minister of Agriculture and Rural Development of Vietnam. The cooperation in the field of coal and gas utilization at the continental boundary between the Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources and the Vietnamese Minister of Industry and Trade. Meanwhile, legal cooperation between the Vietnamese Minister of Justice and the Indonesian Minister of Justice and Human Rights. On the occasion, they also signed a statement letter of Marine Security Agency and the Coast Guard between the head of the Indonesian Marine Security Agency and the Vietnamese Coast Guard commander. President Joko Widodo, in the bilateral press release with Secretary General of Vietnamese Republic Socialist Party, said the two countries focusing on 3 main issues, namely the increasing cooperation on maritime and fishery, trade and investment, and regional issues. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo said, Vietnam is one strategic partner of Indonesia since 2013. Indonesia and Vietnam are united in the ASEAN. Vietnam currently presiding the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, or APEC, and will be hosted the APEC Summit Conference in November. Indonesia gives support for the Vietnam's chairmanship. President Joko Widodo also exchanged ideas about the region, especially ASEAN, which entered the 50 years of age, and emphasized the importance of the unity and centrality of ASEAN and the importance of cooperation to realize the vision of the ASEAN community in 2025. President Joko Widodo and the Secretary General of the Socialist Republic of Vietnam also agreed to make ASEAN as a motor for the creation of peace and stability and the welfare of the region. The President welcomes the progress achieved in the Code of Conduct, which will be the basis for introducing the comprehensive norms in the South China Sea. That was the focus.
Welcome back, listener. Here is our news in brief. South China Sea dispute still continues. Indonesia and Vietnam have signed a number of memorandum of understanding for cooperation in various fields. Vice Chairman of Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, Bambang Subianto, after attending the Institute Sarwono's Awards and Scientific Orations of Sarwono Prawiro Harjo Memorial Lecture at Auditorium of LIPI in Jakarta on Wednesday, expected Indonesian government to keep alert on radicalism that endanger the state's safety. Indonesian swimmer Triadi Fauzi Siddiq won a gold medal at the 2017 Southeast Asian Games on Thursday, August 24th, after adding two silvers. Listener, that was News in Brief over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. We meet again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. Today, we will invite you to visit Yogyakarta province. Stay tuned. If you're traveling to Yogyakarta, not only Malioboro, Prambanan Palace, and Prambanan Temple you can visit. You must try other new destinations that are beautiful and popular nowadays, such as Punggur Pine Forest. The Punggur Pine Forest is located in Sendang Sari Village, Delingo, Bantung Regency, approximately 25 kilometers from Yogyakarta City. If you're traveling to Punggur Pine Forest, you can explore the natural views and take pictures in many photos attracting spots that have been provided by the local administrator. The location of Punggur Pine Forest could be reached in 1 hour by private vehicles. Punggur Pine Forest was launched as a tourism destination on April 7, 2016. It is currently managed by the local villagers who are also members of the tourism awareness group. The Pine Forest uses forest areas under Mangunan Forest Concession Management, just like other Pine Forest tourism destinations located in Delingo Bantul Hills. Before it is developed as a tourism place, this pine forest functions as a tree farm. The pine scum is tapped for industrial raw materials. If you make a tour to Punggur Pine Forest, you will be charged for the entrance ticket of 2,500 rupiah per person. For motor vehicle, the parking fee is only 2,000 and 5,000 rupiah for car and 20,000 rupiah for bus. Listener, while entering the forest area, you will feel the authenticity and the shade of the forest. The rows of pine trees are very tight, so there is very little bit sunlight that visitors can feel. If you want to be in the middle of a pine forest area, you must walk up the hilltop through a simple stairs made of soil. Another attraction of Pengger Pine Forest is the spot to enjoy the sunset in Watu Adek or Watu Ngadek area. Watu Adek area lies on the western Pine Forest, which is marked by frozen volcanic lava rock area. From the place, you can enjoy the beauty of the sunset from the height. When the weather is quite sunny, you will see Mount Merapi and Mount Merbabu clearly on the right side. Interestingly, there are a number of the fascinating locations to be used by tourists to take photos in the pine forest, including the gigantic bird nest, the tree bridge, the tree house, the giant hen or a pose viewing location formed like a giant hen, and love letter. From some of the places, the most interesting location is the giant bird's nest. If you take the pictures in this place at night, you will see the glorious view of Yogyakarta city. Besides the photo locations, the manager also provides other tourism services and facilities. Entering the area and facilities, you will be charged an extra fee for school stage, natural studio, natural explore, bike race, and rock climbing. There are also places that can be rented for nature lover activities, such as camping locations and hammocks. Pengger Pine Forest provides public facilities such as toilets, musola, and food and beverage stalls. Listener, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Pengger Pine Forest. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We meet again with a miscellany for today. Listener, August is a special month for the Republic of Indonesia because August 17 is the day when Indonesia gets its independence. To live in the celebration of Indonesian Independence Day, various activities are held by all Indonesian citizens. On this day, not only the competition, the residents also hold the celebration. The event is aimed to pray for the heroes who have sacrificed their lives and struggled for the sake of Indonesian independence. Related to the activities held to celebrate the Independence Day of Indonesia, today's edition of Miscellany will talk about the activities implemented for the first time to enliven the celebration of Indonesian Independence Day. Something different in the celebration of the 72nd Indonesian independence at Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Thursday. Last year, During the ceremonies of Indonesian independence, the guests were usually asked to wear complete civilian outfits by the palace protocol. This year, the guests and participants of the ceremony were asked to wear the traditional costume. The President of Indonesia, Vice President, ministers, and members of parliaments also wore traditional costumes from various regions in Indonesia. This aims to prove that Indonesian people are full of diversity, which is the special identity of Indonesian people. Besides traditional customs, during the ceremony, the tradition of President Joko Widodo to distribute was also done. After raising the flag and greeting the invited guest, Indonesian President Joko Widodo then distributed bicycles to the participants. The bicycles were distributed after the judges determined the winners of the best costume. The anniversary of Indonesian Independence Day is not celebrated by Indonesian people. This day is also celebrated by Google through the colorful doodling picture. This picture can be seen on Google homepage for the internet users in Indonesia. On August 17, 2017, Google displayed a picture of a boat carrying 6 people with a variety of traditional Indonesian costume. Among them are colorful traditional costume from Papua, Bali, and Dayak. The doodle seems to depict the diversity of Indonesian people, but they stand in the same boat, the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia. This month coincides with the 72nd anniversary of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia on August 19, 2017. Indonesian government, in this case the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, launched a diaspora card as a form of government recognition for the role of diaspora communities abroad. The diaspora card was actualized after President Joko Widodo listened to various comments and constructive inputs from the community. The Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, said, "Indonesian diaspora card is useful to provide the facilities for Indonesian diaspora. As a potential assets of the nation, the diaspora is a social group that has its own characteristics because diaspora are the people who are accustomed to global competition." That was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic The Month of Indonesian Independence Day. We meet again with another interesting topic. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Radio World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to our regular segment, Music Corner. In today's edition, we will play several heroic songs from North Sumatra province. Stay tuned. To start this segment, we will play a song entitled Butek.
Fire! Awas!
Listener Butet is the title of the song you have just heard. This is a unique song of Toba Batak tribe, which depicts the situation of war against the Dutch colonization in that era. The music is so miserable with touchy lyrics because, in fact, the song is a humming of a mother to her daughter, who in Batak Toba is called Butet. In her humming to Butet, the mother tells about their condition at that time, which was left by her husband to go for war. The song's lyrics implied a hope of a mother for her husband to be survived in the battlefield and can reunite with the family. There is also a message of the mother for her child later, can also help the heroes as members of the Red Cross. The song Butet you've just heard was sung by Emilia Contessa. Emilia wasn't the first singer who popularized the song. Many singers have already sung the song Butet. Not only among the Batak Toba community, this song also popular among other Indonesian people. Another Batak song that tells about the Indonesian struggle is Erkata Bedil. So listener, here is our wonderful song entitled Erkata Bedil.
Oh,
Listener, the song is a typical Batak Karo song, sung by Martin Paranginangin and Siska Borubangun. Composed by Jaga Sembiring Depari, Erkata Bedil also describes the situation of the war at that time. In Indonesian, Erkata Bedil means the sound or the boom of a weapon. Through the fragments of the lyrics, such as the lyrics at the beginning of the song, namely, Erkata Bedil ikuta medan, ngataken kami maju ngelawan, which means booming weapons in the Medan city as a sign for us to fight. This song is categorized as the heroic song of Batak Karo people. Usually the song was sung in a duet by a man and woman, because in addition to the spirit of fighting to maintain independence, the song also implies the romance of a man and a woman. This romance is seen in the lyrics. Adina temen atendungena, turang lamegogo, tangtangi ringman ari oturang. Which means, if you really love me, my lover, give the ring as a memory of you, my lover. Listener, to end our music corner for today, a song entitled Seka Nauli will be presented to you. Unlike the previous two songs, which have slow tempo, Angkak Batak typical song has the fast tempo. Still carrying heroic theme, through the lyrics, the song motivates the hero to keep the spirit against the invaders. The song Seka Nauli also ends our music corner for today. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, thank you for listening. I'll see you on the next music corner.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You
can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.